You can be seated, and children, you can go to Children's Church with Sarah if you'd like to. If you have your Bibles, I invite you to turn to 1 Timothy chapter 6. That's where we'll spend our time together today. And this past weekend, Friday and yesterday, Brother Bill and I, Bill Jeffries and I, were at a Gridiron Men's Conference in Huntsville, Alabama. And let me encourage you, especially men, they're here. Let me encourage you, put it on your calendar next year. Tim Tebow and Kirk Cameron will be among the speakers next year. It was a great conference last year. It was a good one this year, and I'm looking forward. I told Bill, I said, I wish it was this next year now, because I was looking forward to some of the speakers that were there. And so it's just a quick conference, and it's, but anyway, we went up there and got there Friday night, and we checked into the hotel, and said, you know what, I'm hungry, we need to eat. And Bill wanted to just run through, you know, quickie-quick, and I said, no, I don't want quickie-quick, I want some real food. And so we went to several places, and by the way, on Friday night at 4 o'clock in Huntsville, Alabama, you don't want to go looking for some place to eat. Every place we went to in this little mall where the hotel was, 40 minutes to an hour away, so we ain't got time for that craziness. And so we ended up at this pizza place. I can't even remember what the pizza place was called, but it was one of those pizza places that you make your own pizza. It's kind of like Subway, but for pizza, and you tell them. Well, that really threw poor Brother Bill for a loop. Because he said, you know what, just give me two choices. But here, they had gazillions of choices. I mean, you pick what kind of sauce you want. Did you want red sauce? Did you want marinara sauce? Did you want Alfredo sauce? Did you want pesto sauce? Did you want some kind of orange-looking sauce? I don't even have any idea what it was, but it wasn't looking very good, so neither of us had that. And then you, all these toppings that you, my goodness, and it is so hard to make choices. We sat there and we wondered and said, well, I don't know what I'm going to have. And they all kind of different crusts, and neither of us tried it, but they did have cauliflower pizza crust, which that's exactly what we responded. And, so, and they charged $3 extra for cauliflower crust. They ought to be given, they ought to charge less for that cauliflower crust. Yuck. But anyhow, there's just so many choices. But we finally did make our choices, and we sat down and ate, and it was really good. And we got to the conference and had a good time. My point is, you know, that we come across so many choices that we have to make in life. Some are rather inconsequential, like what kind of pizza we're going to have from the make-your-own-pizza place. But there are some decisions that we have to make every day that are much more serious. And that's what we're going to talk about today. And that is how we live our life and what rules our life. You see, we choose, I choose and you choose, what or who rules your life and who or what rules your day. And so Paul issues this concluding challenge as he's wrapping up this letter to his young protege Timothy and says, young man, and says to us, and I thought this was a particularly timely message for Father's Day. He says, Timothy, young man, you pick wisely. But he wasn't just writing to Timothy, he was writing to all of us. And I think there's this lesson that God wants us to get. And so let's take a look, beginning 1 Timothy chapter 6, beginning in verse 3. It says this, if anyone teaches otherwise and does not consent to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ and the doctrine which accords with godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but is obsessed with disputes and arguments over words, from which envy, strife, reveling, evil suspicions, useless wranglings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, who suppose that godliness is a means of gain. From such, withdraw yourself. Now, godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and harmful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But you, O man of God, flee these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, to which you were also called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. I urge you in the sight of God, who gives life to all things, and before Christ Jesus, who witnessed the good confession before Pontius Pilate, that you keep this commandment without spot, blameless until our Lord Jesus Christ's appearing, which he will manifest in his own time. He who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone has immortality, dwelling in unapproachable light, whom no man has seen or can see, to whom be honor and everlasting power. Amen. Well, that was, we're stopping there, and that's probably where Paul intended to stop. But you know, preachers, when just because we say amen doesn't mean we're finished. And he had a little afterthought there, the rest of the verses that we'll catch another time. But Paul says to Timothy and challenges us in 2021, because we still face these same things, that we have to choose on a daily basis to live for God. We choose every day what it's going to be. He said, Paul contrasts two kinds of people in these verses. For those that are seeking after money and seeking after wealth and seeking after stuff, seeking after themselves is really what they're doing. And he says, you know what? A lot of people, including a lot of believers, have strayed from the faith seeking after themselves. Because if your faith is about you, your faith is in the wrong thing. And then he says, you know what? From people that are contrary, and people that like to argue, and we all probably, I hope you're not one of these people, but we all know somebody that they will argue about anything and everything. I mean, they just like to argue and they like to talk. Paul says, be careful of those people. And if it says if they're, you know, causing trouble and they're just looking to quarrel, stay away from them. He says, withdraw from them. And so God wants us to make good choices and to choose Him and to find, listen, what is it all about? And Paul comes to the conclusion, and if we walk with the Lord, we can come to the conclusion too that this life is not about us, but it's about Him. It's about God Almighty. And so Paul reminds us to make that the priority of our life. Well, how do we do that? And that's what we want to do today, is talk about how we can find, how we make the right choices so that we live a life that honors and pleases God, so that when we stand before Him, He says, well done, good and faithful servant. And so the first thing that I want us to find, and I think the first decision we have to make, is to find contentment. Paul said, listen, there's some that are looking for arguments, there's some that are looking for riches, there's some that are looking for power, there's some looking for prestige. That's not what it's about. He said, the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. And money and fame and power has destroyed an awful lot of lives. Money in itself is not evil. But the love of money and the service of money, it does lead to evil. And it leads to a lot of wrong. He said, you know what? And that's why he goes on. He says, listen, it's the love of money is the root of all evil. But he said, listen, Godliness with contentment is where the gain is. He said some people think that because they have money or they're seeking, got power or people look up to them, that means that God has approved of them and they're doing what they're supposed to do. And the world, that's how their standard is. If you have a big car, a big house, if you have a fancy title after your name, say, well, you must be pretty important, you're doing something right. Well, we all know there are a lot of crooks that have powerful positions and a lot of money and a lot of prestige. And so just because you have does not necessarily mean, and in fact oftentimes means you're not trying to honor God. Now, there are some very wealthy people that do honor God, and they use their money in ways that honor God, and that's wonderful, and that's what we ought to do. But we are never going to live for God and find the joy in life that God has intended for us until we first of all find contentment. Until we recognize and we're happy and we're satisfied with what we have. And so Paul says, if you have Jesus, if you have food, if you have clothing, with these things, be content. Be thankful for those things. Understand that everything you have is a gift from God. And that God sent it. God gave it. You say, well, I did the work. Well, it was God that gave you the ability to do the work and God that gave you the job to do the work, to get the paycheck. We recognize that all that's in this world was created and is from God and by God's hand. And so whatever you find yourself, he said, be content. In other words, recognize that it's enough. Even the poorest American, those that really we would think live in poverty, have more money and more wealth than 70% of the rest of the world. But if you're looking for money to make you happy, you're never going to have enough of it. If you're looking for fans to make you happy, you're never going to have enough of them. If you're looking for stuff to make it, you're never going to have enough. You're always going to need one more. But if you're content, even if you have just a little, and you're content, you'll be happy. And your life will be full of joy. And you'll have life. But so many people miss out on life because they're chasing after things that ultimately don't matter. And so the first step in making a choice that leads to a God-honoring and a God-filled life is being content. Scripture has a lot to say about contentment, and it would be a good study for you sometime to go through the Bible, start in Genesis and go through Revelation, and look at all the Scripture and all the times that the Scriptures talk about contentment. And guess where it says contentment comes from over and over and over again? Not in the things of this world. But contentment really can only be found in God and in a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And so that alone, we sang that wonderful song, Amazing Grace. And that was a newer version of it. The original Amazing Grace is several hundred years old. That version that we sang is now a couple decades old. So it's not new anymore either. But boy, the wonderful truth of that song we were lost, but now we're found. We were blind, but now we see. And so Paul says, hey, listen, the first thing that you need to understand about living a life that honors and pleases God and the choice you need to make every day is to be content. Be happy. Be joyful. Be thankful with whatever you have. And then we don't have to worry about, people that are worrying about what other people have. They're miserable. But those that are content with what they do have a life of joy. And that joy comes from God Himself. Well, after we understand that we have to choose contentment, and that is a choice, we have to do something else. We have to decide to do something else, not only to find contentment, but we have to decide that we're going to flee wrong. He says, listen, there are some people you need to withdraw from. You need to stay away from it, from them. But there's activities and places and things that you need to stay away from too. So he said, flee from ungodliness. Flee from unrighteousness. If it's not right, don't do it. Don't fiddle with it. Don't even get close to it. You know, you see a snake, and I don't like snakes. I'm not a big snake fan. And I know that, you know, snakes are, you know, they do some good things, some of them. And I don't care if it's a good snake or a bad snake. As far as I'm concerned, the only good snake is a dead snake. And so if one comes up, I know, guess what? If I stay away from it, even if it is a rattlesnake, and it's got those big fangs that are poisonous, if I stay away from it, it ain't going to get me. And I'm not going to die of rattlesnake poisoning. But I also know, and I'm not going to do it, but I also know if I get real super close to it, chances are pretty good I might get bit by that rascal. And so I'm going to stay as far away from it as possible. Well, the same is true with sin. It may seem harmless, but it destroys every time. We talked about that this morning when we looked at the book of Isaiah. Sin will destroy you every time. It may not look dangerous, it may look harmless, but it will destroy you. And so what's Paul's answer? Flee from it. Stay away from it. If it comes walking down the street, you go the other side of the street. Stay away from it. And people that are practicing it, stay away from them. And people that are teaching wrong things, wrong doctrine, stay away from them. Flee. You know, so often we, you know, blame a lot of things on the devil that the devil's not really responsible for. And we say, the devil made me do it. The devil didn't make you do squat. You don't, when you sin, it's because you chose to do it. And so, God said, hey, listen, don't put yourself in that place. Jesus said it this way. He said, listen, if your hand causes offense, it's better for you to cut it off than to die in hell. Or if your eyes cause you to, it's better to pluck them. Now, he's not really talking about chopping your hands off or plucking your eyes out. But what he is saying is trying to teach us a principle that, hey, listen, stay away from sin. Guess what, you know, if, you know, God has saved, you know, folks out of alcoholism and drug addiction, all kinds of things, and God has that power to change lives, and we know that, and we celebrate that. But let me tell you something, that an alcoholic that goes and hangs around the bar is setting himself up for trouble. Because what's going to happen, that old buddy's going to say, hey, Jim, just have one. It ain't going to hurt. And for a while, you may be able to say no, but eventually, you're probably going to give in. And then you're going to be hooked right back by that addiction that Jesus Christ set you free from. How often do we do that? We take our chains and Jesus looses them from us. How often do we then take them and put them back on? And we lose the freedom that Jesus offers. And that's possible because of what he did for us on the cross of Calvary. So Paul tells Timothy and tells us, flee from wrong. Stay away from it. James said it this way. He said, resist the devil and he will flee from you. The problem is we don't do a lot of resisting. We do a lot of hanging out with and carousing with the devil. And so he says, flee wrong. And the opposite of that is true as well. He said, listen, yes, stay away from the wrong things. But look at what he said. He said, pursue righteousness and godliness and faith and love and patience and gentleness. He lists some of those things as the nine fruits of the Spirit in the book of Galatians. These are things that are supposed to be characteristic of the Christian life, but they are not characteristic of the Christian life by our own strength and our own power. They're only a part of the Christian life and evident in our life by us making the choice to let God's Spirit reign in our life. It's God that gives us and helps us to have love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and gentleness. Those things are opposites of evil and wrong. And so here again, Paul is saying, which is it going to be? Are you going to run toward and hang around things that are wrong and things that are going to destroy you and your family and your witness? Or are you going to choose things that will honor God and lead to a fulfilling life and help you accomplish what God has created you for? And to be a witness. Which is it going to be? This is God's fighting for you, God's choice. The Bible says that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all would come to repentance. God's desire is that everyone would be saved. It is Satan's desire. Satan, James said, is like a lion walking about seeking who he can devour. Satan's desire is to eat you for lunch and to destroy your testimony and to destroy your life. And the thing is, you choose which one wins in your life. God is fighting for you. Satan's fighting for you and against you, looking to destroy you, or God wants to lift you up and to set you free and to give you abundant, joyful life. So what's it going to be? You make the choice. Nobody can make it for you. You've got to make it yourself. And by the way, you've got to make it yourself every day. And then lastly, not only do we need to learn to be content, not only do we need to flee wrong, but Paul says we've got to fight faithfully. This is what he says. He says, listen, pursue these things. In verse 12, he says, fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life to which you were called. So that's what God has intended for you. Good, eternal life is what you were created for and what God intends for you to have. So fight for it. Fight the good fight. Listen, you were called and you've confessed that good confession. Jesus is the sovereign one. That's what that word potentate means, is sovereign. He's ruler. He's the supreme king. And you belong to him. And so Paul says, act like it. Kingdoms in this world are constantly opposed to each other. And they're fighting and looking out for their own interests. And Paul says there's a similar battle going on spiritually with every one of us. The kingdom of God and the kingdom of Satan and the kingdom of this world are clashing with one another. And in that war, Satan desires to knock you down and to kill you. And Paul says, you know what? If you stay away from him, he ain't going to be able to get close enough to do that. But understand that the Christian life does not come just by seizing the day or having a que sera, sera attitude, whatever comes will come attitude. That's not how it happens. It happens because we fight for it. We have to fight to do what's right. Listen, it's always, most of the time, it's a whole lot easier to do what's wrong than it is to do what's right. But doing wrong is never a good thing, is it? You tell your kids that, don't you, dads? Which reminds me, I got to tell you a dad joke at the end. I won't interrupt my sermon, but it's a really good one. And so, you know, we say, listen, he said, fight. Well, we're not supposed to fight. Well, there are some things you do need to fight for and that are worth fighting. You just have to be sure that the things you fight for are the right things and worthy things. And so God says, you know what? You've got to learn to be content. You've got to stay away from wrong and pursue after good things. And you've got to fight. Listen, if I come up and I punch Carl and I just keep punching, I'm not very strong. I can't hit very hard. But if I hit him enough times, he's going to fall down. If he just stands there like a lump. But guess what? If Carl takes, he's old, but he's strong. He says, all right, you hit me. Now it's my turn. I'm probably going to be the one laying on the ground. But how often do we just let Satan use us as a punching bag? We need to fight back. We need to fight the good fight. And so we have to fight to do things like pray and come to church. Listen, I understand. I know that you get up for work at probably 6 or 7 every day of the week, Monday through Friday mostly, if you have a regular, scheduled job. And you have no problem doing that. Or if you do have a problem, you get some coffee or Coke in you in the morning and you're good to go. But I guarantee every one of us has the same struggle on Sunday morning. We don't want to get up. Church doesn't start until 9 o'clock is the early service, 10 o'clock is Sunday school, 11 o'clock. It's hard for us to get up before noon on Sundays. Why? Because Satan does not want us going to church. We are not saved by coming to church. I heard it said this way one time. He said, going to church does not make you a Christian any more than going to McDonald's makes you a cheeseburger. And there's a lot of truth to that. But if you are saved and your life has been changed by the grace of Jesus Christ, you want to be in church. You want to be with God's people. You want to live for Him. But there's also so many forces fighting in this world that will tell us, don't go to church. Church doesn't matter. Don't read your Bible. You don't need to read your Bible. That's crazy. No use praying. Just skip that. Listen, Lord knows what you need before you even ask, so just keep it to yourself. Don't bother praying. And if we're not intentional about coming to church and reading our Bible and praying and doing those other things that help us grow stronger in Christ, we are not going to do it. We have to be intentional, but we have to fight for it. And a lot of times people don't live a life that honors and pleases God and don't know the joy of being set free from sin, not because God doesn't want to and God can't do it, but because they don't want to fight for it. They just want to have it handed to them, and that's not the way it works. And so God says, you know what? What's it going to be? Are you going to fight for the faith? Are you going to fight that good fight of faith? Or are you going to fight with the world and be on the world's side and let it destroy you? So be content, flee wrong, and fight faithfully. This is how we have a life that God can use, and a life that is full, and a life that is free. And friend, you can have that today. You can make that. It doesn't matter if you've chosen wrong Every other day of your life, you can choose to start a new walk today. No matter what happened yesterday, you can choose to make a new start today. And I encourage you to do this. Say, listen, I want the Lord to help me to learn to be content. And by the way, when we're content with what we have, God has a way of sending us more. And we find more of God's blessings because we're paying attention to Him. And we're not searching for other stuff that really doesn't matter at all. That we flee from wrong. Don't hang around. Listen, if you have best friends that are drunkards and are constantly getting into trouble with the law, they probably shouldn't be your close friend. I'm not saying you forget them. I'm saying you don't hang around them very much. And you don't let them have influence in your life. You say, well, preacher, I got to win them to Jesus. Well, there's a danger, though. And the reality is, they're either going to, you might lead them to Jesus, but chances are a whole lot better, they'll pull you away from them. And so that's why Paul says, when you come against people that are living wrong and are just being argumentative, and withdraw from them. Stay away from them. Because you don't need that kind of negative influence in your life. Flee what's wrong and fight the good fight of faith. Because here's the thing, if we're fighting the fight of faith, we're serving in an army with a commander that's the creator of the world. The ultimate supreme ruler, he says, the potentate, Jesus Christ, is our commander in chief. So no matter how weak we are, how little we think we might be, with him on our team, our victory is assured. If we're willing to fight. So let's pray together. Lord, we love you. Thank you for your goodness and your love to us. And Lord, we're so thankful for your goodness and your love. We're thankful for your grace and how it changes us and how you set our chains and you break them. You loose them from us, and that we are no longer bound, but now we are children of light. And Lord, this message has been a challenge to us to live like that, to make choices that reflect that we are children, that we are men and women of light, that we're walking at and seeking after you. And Lord, if there's someone here today that's never trusted in you as the Lord and Savior, they've never found that grace and mercy, may today be the day that they receive that, maybe for the first time, just by acknowledging their sin and understanding and knowing that you paid the price for them on the cross of Calvary. You shed your innocent blood, that whosoever would call upon the name of the Lord would be saved. And Lord, help them to receive that gift today. But maybe there's one of your children here today, Lord, they're saved, but they're missing so much because, Lord, these three things are not evident in their life. They're not content, and they're not staying away from things that are wrong, and they're not fighting the good fight. Would you help them today to say, you know what, right here, right now, this Father's Day, Sunday 2021, I'm going to make the decision that from this moment forward, I'm going to make better choices. I'm going to choose life with God instead of life for myself. Lord, help us to never take for granted what you've done for us. Help us never to forget we are in the fight, quite literally for eternity, for our souls. Lord, help us to hunger and thirst after you rather than the things of this world. We pray in Jesus' name. Let's stand together and let's sing this old hymn, Jesus Paid It All. I'm thankful that Jesus paid.